All right, good seeing you here tonight. Romans chapter 12. I want to pick up again with where we left off on the spiritual gifts. Of course, we've kind of talked in general about spiritual gifts as being God-given abilities for service for His glory. And everyone has at least one gift. So I've been asking, what gift or gifts has God the Holy Spirit sovereignly given you for this local body? Now, on Sunday in Sunday school, we talked about ministry gifts and, of course, the foundational offices of apostle and prophet, but also the functional offices that continue, evangelist, which I said is our missionaries, church planters, and so on. Also, pastors and teachers, as God has given these gifts to the local church to equip and strengthen the local body. We also looked at the manifestation gifts. As I emphasize, the manifestation gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 are sign gifts. They're temporary sign gifts. They do not continue. Tongues and all that do not continue. Why? Because we don't need that sign because we have the confirmed Word of God, the completed Word of God. So again, those have failed, they've ceased, they vanish away. Now, let's talk about the motivational gifts as we look this here. Let's go ahead and start verse 1 here just to give us the context. Verses 4 through 8, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all right, because of God's mercies, the salvation that He's provided through the Lord Jesus Christ, notice we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, all right, there's a certain way that a sacrifice is to present it, we are to present ourselves as a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, not as acceptable as I think it's acceptable. But again, it must be acceptable unto God. Of course, we find that in His Word, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I want you to notice here now these motivational gifts. Again, that's the title I've given this type of spiritual gift, these motivational gifts for the local body. For as we have many members in one body, so the illustration is the physical body. I have arms and legs and various parts of the body. As we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, my hand does one thing, my foot does another. I'm not a monkey. I'm not a chimpanzee. So you notice here there's different things that each member, part of the body does. Notice, so we being many are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. Not everyone can be a teacher. Not everyone can be the pastor and so on and so forth. Not everyone can even do some of these gifts that are mentioned here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Notice, spiritual gifts are a grace from God. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. For he that teacheth on teaching. For he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I want you to consider here these gifts. First of all, the gift of prophecy is mentioned here. It says here, the end of verse 6, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, remember I said on Sunday, there's two aspects of prophecy. There's the temporal aspect of prophecy, foretelling of the future. But I said also there's another aspect of prophecy that actually continues. Prophecy only continues in the sense of telling forth the truth. And remember I said on Sunday the example of Judas and Silas. It says they exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. There's nothing that the Scripture says that they foretold the future. Again, we have the completed Word of God, so the foretelling of the future is not needed, but the gift of prophecy in that sense continues. Now let me just say this as far as somebody with the gift of prophecy. They probably are a person, would be a person with strong convictions, and they proclaim the truth persuasively. If you think about a prophet, you think in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, some examples of that. It wasn't just the telling, foretelling of the future that their ministry involved. there were some very strong words that they gave to bring the nation of Israel to repentance. So again, we see the gift of prophecy, but also then the gift of ministry. Verse 7 says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. So in essence, like a waiter or a waitress, standing, waiting to perform this service to somebody in the body of Christ. Ministry is a spiritual gift of service in the church. And I want you to notice an example here, Romans chapter 16. In fact, there's several illustrations we could use in this chapter here as Paul sends greetings to the church at Rome. Notice verses 1 and 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer, a helper of many, and of myself also. So you notice here this example of Phoebe having the gift of ministry or service in the church which is at Cenchrea. And evidently, as missionaries, you know, Paul or whoever was traveling through, she would minister to them. So again, we see here this example. Notice also the example in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we see another example of somebody who had this gift of ministry or service in the church. Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 and following. Notice it says here, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that, notice, ministered to my wants, to my needs. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Notice this, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Here's a man that had so much of the gift of ministry. I mean, he almost died performing ministry, performing service to those who had need. I don't believe that the Lord is asking us to do that, but I want you to consider here this spiritual gift of ministry or service. In fact, let me read for you Hebrews chapter 6. There's, of course, application to many, but in particular, I think of the gift of ministry here. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, I do not believe that the spiritual gift of ministry lets everyone off the hook. I believe all of us are to look for opportunities to be of ministry to others. However, though, I believe there are some that God especially gives this gift to serve in the local church. I believe this type of person enjoys expressing hospitality. I don't believe it's a requirement to open up, you know, up your home to anybody and everybody. But again, this person would enjoy expressing hospitality. They also this type of person demonstrates love with action. So again, the gift of ministry. Also the gift of teaching. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he that teacheth on teaching. Okay, so obviously the one who has the gift of teaching is a teacher. Now, in particular, this gift enables the presentation of truth with application from the Word of God. Now, one of my favorite examples of a teacher that expresses this gift is Apollos. Notice with me Acts chapter 18. This is my favorite example of one who teaches, has the gift of teaching. Let me just say this while you're turning there. This type of person who has the spiritual gift of teaching obviously would be one who loves to study the Word of God, to be able to communicate truth. Obviously, they're going to need to demonstrate some knowledge of the subject because of their study. And also, they have a way of presenting a logical, accurate presentation. I want you to think about somebody who has the gift of teaching. not only do they study it out, but they also enjoy sharing the truth that they've received from the Lord as they've studied this out. And let me just emphasize some things as far as our teachers. And I know I'm opening up Sunday school to the men, scheduling that, but of course our boys and girls teachers and so on. But I want you to think about something. The emphasis should be on the teaching of the Word of God. Now, I do not believe, especially for children, it's wrong to have activities. But as I've thought about over the years, I think of a challenge that we had in our Christian school. At one point, a staff member would not take time to prepare for chapel services. So what he would do is he'd get out his activities book, and of course, I had two sons in chapel, so I would hear about this every once in a while. But they would do Bible activities in chapel instead of having preaching and teaching of God's Word. There is no replacement for the teaching of God's Word. Now, let me just say this. I've never sat in one of Brother Glenn's classes. One of the things I enjoy what he does with the boys is he actually has a worksheet that has blanks to fill out. And the boys actually have to dig into the Bible and find the answers. What I believe a teacher should do is to emphasize the application of God's Word. I want you to think about this. Our young people need to know how to go to the Bible and find the answers for life themselves. I want you to think about this. Learning activities have their place, but they need to be in their place. The emphasis is on the teaching of God's Word. And again, here's the example of Apollos. Verse 24, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Right, so he's an eloquent man. Now, that does not mean necessarily that, he's a great orator. An eloquent man speaks of somebody who's communicating clearly and effectively. Notice he was mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, let me just say this. Unless you study, you're not going to teach effectively. There has to be time that you spend in God's Word. And let me just say this. As pastor, I'm willing to provide any of our teachers with curriculum if they want it. But here's the problem with the curriculum. There's a lot of good curriculum. Well, I won't say a lot anymore, but there used to be a lot of good curriculum. But here's the problem with that. Sometimes the tool becomes the focus instead of the Word of God. I have known of teachers who stand up and all they do is simply read the lesson manual. To which the student is saying, well, I could have read that. I want some teaching. Right? So I want to emphasize the teaching. Right? So he was mighty in the scriptures. Notice he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the spirit. I don't believe that our students in the classroom are going to really enjoy the subject that we're teaching unless we are fervent in spirit. Unless I have a passion about what I'm teaching. Okay, for example, tonight. I want our people, each one of you, to have a place that you're filling with the spiritual gifts that God has given you. I want you to think about this. This is something that I'm passionate about because I want each and every one in our church to be serving in some way or another. So again, this idea of being fervent in spirit, going to the classroom with a burden about what I'm teaching. Notice it says he spake and taught diligently. So there's a diligence in teaching the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Oh, he has incomplete knowledge. But notice what happens here. And he began to speak boldly. So boldly, one of the worst things we can do as teachers is, I don't think you really want to study this today, but this is what God's put on my heart. So apologizing for what God has given me to teach. You probably aren't interested in this subject, but here we go. But notice it says he spoke boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, was it wrong what he was teaching? No, he did not have the complete knowledge, though. So you notice here Aquila and Priscilla are not raising. Apollos, you're wrong on that. You don't know half the story. Notice they're not publicly trying to shame him or anything. Notice it says they take him privately, and notice they're trying to teach him the way of God more perfectly. It says in verse 27, so that tells me he was teachable, by the way. There is no way I can be a good teacher unless I am teachable. Unless I am learning from others. Notice it says, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. If I only teach you what I believe, I'm telling you my opinion. But if I'm showing you in the Bible, then it's what God says. So again, we should have in our teaching a thus saith the Lord. So again, the gift of teaching. The next gift that Paul mentions in Romans 12 is found in verse 8. He that exhorteth on exhortation. Now, sometimes we refer to this as encouragement, but I really believe we have the wrong idea of encouragement. Sometimes we think encouragement is just helping somebody to feel better. That's not the idea of exhortation. Nor is it, like we joked in Bible college, I'm going to give you some exhortation, I'm going to rub your face in the concrete so you'll be a better person for it. No, those are opposite extremes. The gift of exhortation is the gift of one who comes alongside one with needs. It's almost like the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, that comes alongside us as a comforter. But also means to make an appeal through entreaty, comfort, and instruction. Now, I think in Scripture of Barnabas in this case. Acts chapter 11 gives us one example of this. I'll mention him again in a moment. But as he went to Antioch, we see this gift of exhortation in operation. Of course, he was called the son of consolation. He was the one who encouraged. Acts chapter 11, verse 22. And tidings of these things, of course, everyone has heard that in Jerusalem that people were being saved in Antioch and various places. And tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, notice this, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Notice, exhortation is not just helping somebody feel better or feel good about themselves. Exhortation, notice, involves entreaty. Notice, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. Hold fast to the Lord is what he's exhorting them. Notice here, he could only offer this exhortation because of his character. Verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. And then, of course, he departed to Tarsus to seek for Saul of Tarsus there. Why? Because he needed some help in teaching them. So again, we see this gift of exhortation. Encouraging and strengthening others in the faith. The next one is the gift of giving. The Bible says that we are to do it with simplicity. Simplicity. Obviously, giving is to help assist others, those who have needs in particular. This is not tithing. Well, I don't have the gift of giving, so I don't have to tithe. That's not what the Bible says. Notice there's some who have this gift of giving, and let me just say this. In many cases, the person with the gift of giving has the ability to make money, to be able to give more, but not necessarily. Because I think of the Christians of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says that they gave beyond their ability in their poverty to the needs of the Jerusalem saints. So again, we see here in particular, this gift of giving is giving to help the needs of others. But it says to do it with simplicity. The word simplicity basically carries out the idea of without outward show or pride. Look at how much I'm giving to the church. Well, sometimes this is masked a little bit. The need is mentioned in the church. And somebody who does this for show, because they have a little extra money. They don't always tithe, as you find out sometimes, but they love to give to special projects because of the attention they can get from it. I really believe that's what happened in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Barnabas evidently got a little bit of attention from the apostles, and so Ananias and Sapphira thinking, we've got property, let's sell it. We don't get enough attention around this church. But sometimes it's done this way, a need is mentioned from the pulpit, and somebody says, I'll take care of that, pastor. I'll take care of that. What are they doing? Instead of going to the pastor and saying, has anyone taken care of that yet? They publicly want to, that's not with simplicity. It's all for show. That's what happened with the widow and then the rich. The widow just quietly cast in her two little mice, tink, tink, where the rich are taking all of their money bags out of their riches. Jesus says, that widow has given more than all those rich. But they would do it for their show. You know, they wanted to make sure there was a bunch of clanging in the giving bucket as they gave their money. So I want you to notice again this giving. Also another example is found in Acts chapter 9 with Dorcas, also known as Tabitha. I think I'd probably would be like to be preferred, if I had a name like that, to be called Tabitha instead of Dorcas. But you think about when she passed away, all kinds of sorrow took place because of all that she had given. So she probably had the gift of ministry as well as service. It says in verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed up her body, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows. Notice this ministry that Tabitha had for the widows. All the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was yet with them. Of course, Peter raises her from the dead and so on. But you notice again all this giving, this alms deeds that she had done. But you think about, in fact, let's look at this example also. 3 John verses 5 through 8. Of course, we're also given in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who left the splendors of heaven to give himself as a ransom. What you consider here, 3 John verses 5 through 8, we see another example of this generosity. Beloved, thou, verse 5, it says, beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, those that he did not know, that are not a normal part of the church there, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Notice here, generosity helps those who are performing the ministry. So again, we see here the example of giving. The one who has the special gift be able to assist others. Also the gift of ruling. The Bible says to do it with diligence. Ruling, I believe, is a gift of spiritual leadership. The idea of the Greek word means to stand in front. Now, I want you to consider that each one of us as men have a responsibility to lead in our homes. And I believe in many cases, men should have the gift of ruling as far as their home is concerned, their family. I think of Abraham, whom God said would rule his family well. Consider, though, that this word diligence speaks of intense effort and haste. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I do not believe that this passage is just expressing how a church is to respond to a pastor, but to each one that has a position of leadership, spiritual leadership in the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So again, this is a spiritual leader in the church. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So again, we notice here, they labor amongst the church and admonish. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And the job descriptions for pastors and deacons, bishops. You can call me Bishop Butterbrook, please. First Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Problem is, the Word of Faith and Charismatics have so perverted that title that I think I will just settle for pastor. Thank you. I don't want reverend. Holy and reverend is his name, not mine. Most holy reverend. That always sickens me when I see some of these liberal preachers claim that title. Most holy reverend. Oh, my. Anyway, verse 4 and 5 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. One that ruleth well his own house. Again, this is in the context of qualifications for pastors. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Also verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. So you notice again, the man has this responsibility, but in particular, one who's going to be in an office like this, there's an emphasis of this. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. Which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I believe that's probably the idea of ordination today as we think of it. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. One other passage, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Of course, Hebrews 13 also emphasizes those who rule in the church. Those who follow in their leadership are to give focus on their faith, follow their faith, but also allow them to do it with joy. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Notice here the emphasis on the word, laboring in the word and doctrine or teaching. So this elder is ruling well, but again, he does that by the word of God. Right? So ruling with diligence. Also showing mercy. Showing mercy, the Bible speaks of it, of doing it cheerfully. Oh, I've got the spiritual gift of mercy, so I've got to do it. No, that's not the idea at all. Showing mercy is a spiritual gift of those who cheerfully demonstrate mercy, kindness, and compassion on those with needs. In fact, they are drawn to people with needs. Somebody who has the gift of showing mercy often ends up in the hospital. Oh, not in the bed, but visiting in the hospital. Why have we gotten to the idea that only the pastor should call on people in the hospital? Somebody who has the gift of showing mercy, that's where they blossom. That's where they express it well. Also the nursing home, visiting the shut-ins. Also, sometimes somebody with the gift of showing mercy ends up in addictions ministries. Why? Because somebody needs help. But again, you think about that. They're drawn to people with these needs. They're showing compassion. I think of the example of the Good Samaritan. He gave of his money to provide for somebody that was left for dead. So again, showing mercy cheerfully. But also, there's a couple more that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. You don't need to look at that. I'll just mention it. It's just one word each. First of all, the gift of helps is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Notice to me, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The gift of helps means to support, help, and aid. And often, the person with the gift of helps serves behind the scenes in the church. Most people do not even see, they may know of their ministry, but they do not see them perform the ministry because it's behind the scenes. And they are okay with that. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I lost my reference here, just a moment. 16 verses 15 and 16. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Notice that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. So again, you notice here this addiction that they have to the ministry of the saints, but in particular, notice they have the gift of helps. In essence, they're helping with needs. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, right close there on the next page. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Notice here, in many cases, the person with the gift of helps is somebody who's praying for people. Again, I want you to notice here, these are behind the scenes people in many cases. A need notice provides an opportunity to use this gift. As we have therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them of the household of faith. The gift of helps. Romans 16 and other places, there's lists and there are people mentioned in Scripture that I believe have the gift of helps. Last of all, the gift of governments. The gift of governments. I think Joseph, if he was in the New Testament, would have had the spiritual gift. He was an administrator. He was one that was there in time of a need. And I think of the seven men, not the apostles, but I think of the seven men that were chosen to serve tables. Literally, they were chosen to organize this, to guide this ministry in a time of need in the church. Of course, the church in Jerusalem could have split by people group. So again, God used the apostles to choose out, along with the church, to choose out seven men chosen to oversee that ministry. This word that's translated governments means to steer, to guide. It speaks of wisdom, knowledge, and discernment to guide a church or a ministry in the church. We often refer to this as administration. This is a person who loves to organize, to lead, and direct. And often this person is vision and goal-oriented. They oversee people and resources for the good of the church. An Old Testament example of this, another Old Testament example, I believe, is Nehemiah. He saw a need, and God raised him up to organize that need of the building of the walls of Jerusalem. Now, as we tie all this together, I want you to consider this. Motivational gifts are motivated by love. Motivational gifts are motivated by love. Listen to me, 1 Peter chapter 4 as we close. We could spend the time reading down through 1 Corinthians 13. But I want you to think about this. In the midst of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice chapters 12 through 14 all deal with spiritual gifts. Right in the middle of that is the chapter on charity or love. I want you to consider that love is to motivate spiritual gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality. I'm sorry, verse 8 is the verse I wanted to focus on in this context. Verse 8, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Again, I have to. That's not the attitude of hospitality. As everyone hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, the spiritual gift is exercised to strengthen the body, edify the body for the glory of God. But notice again, verse 8, it's all motivated by fervent charity, love. By the way, charity is the Greek word agape, God's perfect agape love. So it's not all about, you know, look what gifts I have. It's not all about, well, I have to serve because God's given me a gift. No, it's all motivated by love. So I want you to consider, first of all, what has God given to you? Again, that's God's sovereign plan. Severally as He will. What spiritual gifts do you have to minister in this local body for the glory of God? And then I also ask, are we serving in these things with the proper motivation? For God's glory in fervent charity. Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand these things on a practical level. Help us as we exercise the spiritual gifts. Lord, Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that was within him. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to stir up the spiritual gift that God has given. And Lord, I want for us to consider tonight that sometimes the best ministry we can have in people's lives is fervent prayer. Or even as Paul said, the person is helping by fervent prayer. So Lord, help us to find ways to exercise the gift or gifts that you've given. In Jesus' name, amen.